Todd Park will step down as the nation's chief technology officer at the end of August. His legacy may revolve around technical systems like healthcare.gov, but he also made contributions in mixing technology with the world of human resources. Park was a key developer of the Presidential Innovation Fellows Program. Jeff Neal is senior vice president at ICF International, former chief human capital officer at the Department of Homeland Security, and he writes that an IT approach to human resources could be worth millions to your agency. Jeff, I laughed. I have to say, I laughed heartily when I read your blog post titled "Anything Worth Buying Is Worth Buying 10 Times?" question mark, because you managed to work the phrase "I'm a people person" into the very first sentence of it. And it's probably a phrase you just got absolutely sick of hearing in your years in human resources, I imagine.
Oh, it is, Francis. It's not my favorite phrase, but. And it's, as I said in the blog, it's one of those that makes me cringe every time I hear it, because frequently the people who say that are people, but they're not particularly good HR people. So so it's one of those phrases I'm not real fond of.
What's the disconnect between being a people person and being a lousy HR person?
Well, you know, when you look at the role of an HR professional, and particularly in the type of role I had, where I was running HR for an entire agency and then for an entire department, if I'm looking at it just through the lens of people, I might make decisions based on the fact that, you know, what we're deciding to do might not be good for Betty Lou, and Betty Lou might be upset. When the reality is, I need to look at the entire mission of the organization. And my concern needs to be, can this agency get its mission accomplished? And does it have the right workforce to do that? And it might very well be that Betty Lou isn't part of the right workforce, and that it's time for Betty Lou to go. But, you know, I end up with the people say, oh my goodness, we can't do anything that would upset Betty Lou. Well, if you've got an agency with a couple hundred thousand people, sometimes you're going to do that. Frequently you're going to do that. You have to look at what's best for the organization to get its mission accomplished. That doesn't mean you mistreat your employees. It doesn't mean you don't make decisions, you know, that you avoid making decisions that might hurt somebody. When you make a decision that's going to have a negative effect on somebody, you make certain that you take steps to mitigate that. If, you know, if you're separating them, you might help them without placement assistance. So there are a lot of things you do, but you don't just run an agency to keep individuals happy.
All right, you write in this.
A little harsh, but
well, but it's the reality of it. I mean, and I think the most cogent point is the fact that these organizations are huge operations, and somebody's not going to like everything. I mean, there's going to be anything that you do, somebody in your organization is going to not like it.
And I guess if I'm really lucky, nobody likes it, which has happened before. That's when an HR person knows they've hit it out of the ballpark,
Nobody likes it. There's the old saying that I've heard about legislation is that if both parties hate it, it's probably good. Write in this post about collaboration when you were at DHS as the chief human capital officer with Richard Spires, the chief information officer there, and how you helped to kind of untangle the HR information technology setup that you found when you got to the agency. What was the core of that? What were the most important steps that you and Richard took to work together on that, Jeff?
Well, what we had was a typical setup where he was the CIO, he owned IT, and I was the chief human capital officer, and I owned human capital or human resources IT. And I had an entire team of people in the Chico's office devoted to HR IT, many of whom were very, very technical IT people, not technical HR people. And those two organizations, the CIO's organization and the Chico's, used to fight all the time about whose responsibility something was. And the HR people would try to keep the CIO's folks out of their business, and the CIO's folks would try to get into it, and then they would tell the HR folks what to do, and they would get into these fights. And Richard and I talked about it at length and finally got to the point where we said, look, this is just ridiculous. We can't do business this way. So he and I reached an agreement that we would take the very technical IT people that were in my organization and put them under the control of his organization. but they would stay in my office. So they would be working side by side with my HR IT people who were HR experts, not IT experts. And he would provide the technical oversight and guidance. I would provide the requirements as the head of HR for the organization, and we would work together. And then he and I got the deputy secretary to sign a letter out to all the components that said, if you want to deploy any kind of new HR IT, you have to get it signed off by the CIO and the CHICO. And we knew we had hit gold when a couple of the components called both of us and said, this must be a mistake. It can't mean what it is.
You mean we're going to have to ask you every single time?
And they said, that's what they said. They said, we can't ask you every time we want to deploy a new system. And we said, yes, you can. That's exactly the point. It's exactly what we want you to do, because we have hundreds of these systems now. And the number was growing. And so Richard and I created a board that was made up of HR and IT people from every component, and from his office and my office. It was actually chaired by the Undersecretary for Management. And we started getting a handle on HR IT, and we started telling people that these are our enterprise systems. We don't need 8 or 10 or 12 learning management systems in the department. We need, at most 2 and probably 1. We don't need a bunch of systems for hiring. We don't need a bunch of systems for everything else. We need one of each. And instead of approaching the industry where we're buying these things as a collection of components, we should approach them as an organization that has 250,000 people in it. And our buying power will be magnified. Our ability to get discounts will be better. We'll spend less money on buying, less money on developing, less money on managing these things. And everything will work better as a result. And it did. It was a really great solution. It was a great partnership between Richard and I.
Jeff Neal of ICF International's former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Department of Homeland Security. And I wonder what, beyond the operational efficiencies that you gained with this partnership, Jeff, what kind of message it sent to the workforce, not just in HR, but all across the agency, that the way we did it before is not the way we're going to do it anymore, and we're serious, and we mean it, and you don't have any choice because you guys had the endorsement of the people above you. You had the endorsement of Secretary Lute, and you had other people, high up involved in presenting this decision and this procedure.
That message was incredibly important. One of the things you find in organizations a lot of times is the senior people will have their disagreements, and they'll have them publicly, and they'll enlist their staff in fighting with their colleagues, and that sends a strong message to the team that you lead, that fighting with people is acceptable, and having turf battles is acceptable, that way we do business. And when you start sending the message that that's not the way we do business, that we are all a part of the same and we are here to collaborate with one another and we're here to look out for the interest of the mission, not the interest of our individual office, then it starts changing how people view this, and it makes people who used to be enemies into partners. And it's a very powerful tool for helping change an organization. I never regretted the agreement I made with Richard. Several agreements I made with Richard, and neither did he. We really developed an outstanding partnership. And I think our employees developed a really good partnership as well as a result of doing that. They started seeing that they were on the same side and that they could do things together, and it paid off enormously for us.
You write in this piece that there are all kinds of HR IT systems all over government. You cite some of the providers, some of the people who are using them. What are the pros and cons of going to a system like you and Richard did, regardless of what is happening operationally? Because it sounds from the way you're describing it like the details don't really matter. The scope of the agency, size of the agency doesn't really matter. What's really important is the leadership elements, the buy-in from the leadership, and the willingness of the CHICO and the CIO to make an agreement and stick to it. That sounds like it's the most important thing. The rest of it's details.
It is. And what you find with a lot of these systems is everybody at every level in an organization, and then across the various departments and agencies in government, everyone will tell you that they're unique, that they need their system that they have right now or the new one they want to buy, and it needs to be theirs because nobody else is like them. So that's the one thing they all have in common. They're all unique. And the reality is they're not. Yes, their missions are unique. When you start tearing these systems apart, they're the same system. If you look at the core HR system where people process all the personnel actions and they handle all the long-term records and everything, most agencies are using one of three systems. They're either using a system that was developed a long time ago by the National Finance Center at the Department of Agriculture, or they're using Oracle HR, or they're using PeopleSoft. And the people at the National Finance Center want to go use PeopleSoft or Oracle HR because their system is old and expensive to maintain. So what we're going to get to is the point where everybody in the government who thinks they're unique uses either Oracle HR or PeopleSoft, both of which come from Oracle. So the federal government is going to Oracle time and time again and buying the same two systems over and over again and then deploying them with little tweaks that add cost and complexity every time they do it. And what I've found, particularly more being out of government now and looking at it maybe a little more objectively, is that everything that we said in an agency or a department about needing to look at things as an enterprise. You know, we looked at it as DHS saying, you know, the DHS enterprise needs to do these things and buy these things once. The reality is the enterprise is actually the United States government. And for a lot of these tools that we buy, the enterprise, the United States government, should buy them once instead of buying them 5 times or 10 times or 50 times. And if we did that, we could get some cost out of it. We could simplify the deployment of them. We could simplify the management of them. And what we would end up with is a more effective, less expensive government. But we have to start viewing the enterprise as being the entire government, not just my agency or your agency or somebody else's agency. And when we get to that point, I think we can see that some of these systems will be far less expensive to buy and far less expensive to maintain. And then agencies can focus on the few things they have that truly are unique, where they need a particular tool that's for them, not these big enterprise systems where they don't need to buy them over